Good morning, and welcome to Waking with the Word, a radio ministry of the Volga Christian Reformed Church. This morning, Pastor Brian is going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, and we will consider who Jesus Christ is, the authority that he has to speak, and the assurance that we can have since he is trustworthy. It is our prayer here at the Volga Christian Reformed Church that through this time of studying God's Word and in worship, that you are strengthened in your faith and that God is glorified. Profess Christ, and it may lead to difficulty. You may suffer. And so in that context, the writer here in chapter 12 has been exhorting the church to be faithful and to run the race with perseverance. And again, we see that, and all through the book of Hebrews, he's been looking back at the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and saying, this is what God has given us, but in Jesus Christ, we have so much more, and we will continue that pattern as we see in God's Word once again today. But as we approach it, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we do pray that you will speak through your Word, that your Holy Spirit through this word, that it will be that double-edged sword that cuts deeply into our lives, that cuts deeply into our hearts, and that strengthens us, equips us for another week. For Lord, we are a people who do change. We are fickle. Our hearts go through moments of strength and moments of weakness. And yet, Lord, we pray that your promises that do not change, that they will give us an assurance, no matter where this week may lead, no matter how we may feel, that we may find in you our hope, our comfort, and our place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, picking up our reading in verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. Even if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble in fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of the things that are shaken, that is, the things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We give thanks to God for his word. People of God, our passage today, as we begin to think about it, I want to contrast what we see in God's word here today with what we see in most modern American churches. And one of the books I've been reading recently is Christless Christianity by Michael Horton. And he summarizes the typical evangelical Christian faith. And in his book, he makes the point that this isn't just isolated to liberal churches or conservative churches. This is true of churches, primarily in America at this point, that we've watered down the faith. Now, we've watered it down in such a way that it is very palatable and very human-centered, us-focused. And he gives these marks of, and I know I've used this phrase before, the moralistic, theistic deism that we find in many of our churches. But I invite you to consider these. Basic tenets of that faith is that God created the world. God wants people to be good, nice, fair to each other, as taught in the Bible and also in many other world religions. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life, except when needed to resolve a problem. The primary goal, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. And finally, good people go to heaven when they die. And in this book, he makes the case that that's basically the theology, the doctrine that governs much of the church in America today. And yet, people of God, when we come to our passage this morning, we see a very different view of what the faith is to be and what and who we are as a people who profess the gospel. Because our faith is rooted in a God who does not change, in a God who condescends to us, who doesn't just seek to make us happy, but rather seeks to redeem and rescue us in our sin. And our author helps us get at this in the book of Hebrews by contrasting two mountains. Two mountains, the Old Testament Mount Sinai and the New Testament Mount Zion. And when we get a picture of Mount Sinai in verses 18 through 21, it is quite a terrifying picture. Really, fear is what dominates these verses. These verses remember what happened to the people of Israel back in Exodus. If you want to read it, it's Exodus 19 and chapter 20. When God comes down on Mount Sinai. And how is that described? A blazing fire. This isn't your cozy fireplace or your fire pit on a summer evening. No, this is a furnace, a blast furnace, a fire too hot to approach. And not only is it described as a blazing fire, but a darkness and gloom and tempest or storm and the sound of trumpets and a voice who made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. Mount Sinai was not a comforting place. When God descended, the clouds covered it. Smoke covered it. There was shaking of the ground. There was gloom and dread. And when the people saw this vision of God coming down on the mountain to meet with Moses, their words in chapter 20, verse 19 of Exodus were, "Do not let God speak to us lest we die." Their encounter with the triune holy God was one of fear and trembling. Because when they experienced the holiness of God, when they were given the law, they saw their own sin. They saw their own shame. They recognized that they deserved death. But you have not come to that mountain. That's what the author of Hebrews says. That's not the mountain that is before us as believers. Make that very clear. That mountain where the law was given, where the old covenant was named, the covenant of works where you have to be good enough to somehow earn salvation. If you just kept all the laws perfectly, that is not the covenant that we are under as believers. No, we are under the new covenant. The covenant that the author here ties to Mount Zion. In verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. But you have come, not under the old covenant, but there is something new. There is no longer dread and fear. There is hope. There is joy. And why? Why is there all of a sudden a joy and a confidence? It's rooted in that very last verse we just looked at. It is rooted in the fact that we have Jesus Christ. We have a better word than Jesus Christ because of Jesus Christ. Because the blood of Christ is fundamentally different. And he contrasts it here with the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel is the blood of condemnation. He being murdered by his brother, his blood yelled from the ground for justice. But the blood of Christ is a blood that brings peace. It's a blood that brings peace between God and men and women. It is a blood that makes us perfect. We do not make ourselves perfect. We don't somehow obtain our own holiness. No, our church is not made up of nice guys and good women who God goes, wow, they're such wonderful people, I just want to save them. No, we come here and come through the promises of Christ, knowing that we are received not because we are nice guys or good women, but rather because Christ has made us perfect. Christ has made us acceptable. Christ, in his life, his death, and his sacrifice, we are seen through that. I know I said this earlier in a book of Hebrews, and I keep getting called Righteous Brian ever since by a couple families in our church, but we are seen through the righteousness of Christ. When Christ sees, or when God the Father sees you, he doesn't see you in your brokenness or in your sin. He sees you through the perfection of Christ. That's why we have hope. That's why we have joy. And yet these mountains, one of the things we should recognize is that the God that shows up on Mount Sinai and the God that is revealed on Mount Zion is the same God. This is one of the things I think we should recognize out of this passage where the application comes very important. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting on a front porch with somebody just having coffee in the morning. And while we were there, this individual just goes, you know, I really kind of like the New Testament, but the Old Testament, that God just seems so different. I don't like, really care for the Old Testament. And we continued our conversation. I pushed back a little bit on that. But that mentality, that's a mentality that we have in our community. That's a mentality maybe even some of you carry here today. The people of God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament is the same. God does not change, as our Belgic confession names. God does not mellow like your grandpa who used to have a real good fire in his belly and now in his old years just enjoys doting on you. That's not our God. Our God is the same God who was, who is, and who is to come. What has changed? The difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion is the access. This is the good news for us, people of God. This is what we proclaim as a gospel-centered church. Not that somehow God has mellowed, but rather you and I, we have and can come into the presence of God because of the blood of Christ. We're not a mostly good people that Jesus just makes up the little bit of difference. You know, like the little change jar when you go to Dollar General and you go there and you come up a few cents short and you can reach in the little penny jar and you make up the 3 cents that you need. Jesus isn't the mere change to make up the difference of your goodness and getting into heaven. No, we are bankrupt. We do not have access apart from Christ. This is the radical nature of the gospel, people of God. Jesus doesn't save decent people. Jesus doesn't save good people. Jesus saves wicked people out there in the world. Jesus saves wicked people in here, in this church. God, in his mercy, redeems and saves. And that's the mountain that we are given in verse 22 that is named, you have come. And notice the language here. This is where it takes, I encourage you in your daily scripture reading, and I'm guilty of this as well. It's really easy to start flipping through devotions and just have your eyes skim through the passage and you catch one or two main points and not really consider it for the day. But you have come. Think about what that says. That doesn't say someday you will arrive. It doesn't say, you know, in a few years after you figure out a few more things in your life, then you will arrive at this mountain. No, you have already come. Now, there's a reality and a comfort right here for sinful people. For us as a people who in this past week, maybe we come here, we're carrying big burdens because of our sin, because of our brokenness, because of how much we have screwed up in the last week. There's a comfort here because you have come to Mount Sinai or Mount Zion in Jesus Christ. Your future is assured. This is a great comfort for us as we struggle with our sin. This is a comfort for new followers too. Like if you come to Christ, if you are new to the faith, you don't need 20 years membership card before God all of a sudden says, you're accepted now, you've done enough time, enough good things. No, as soon as you are in Christ, you are at Mount Sinai or Mount Zion. You have come. You are present. Your future is assured. For those who respond in faith, it makes all the difference in the world because our access changes in Christ. Faith makes the difference between which mountain you arrive at, one of fear and dread and condemnation, or one of joy and peace and comfort. And so the very natural application of this passage is respond. Respond in faith. That's the point of verses 25 and following. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven? Do not reject Jesus Christ. Do not reject the promises of the gospel. And this, again, points to a very fundamental thing that we profess as a church. There is no gray area with God. You either accept or you reject. There is no middle ground. You either respond to the gospel in faith and experience the promises of the gospel eternally, or you reject the promises of the gospel and you suffer damnation. There's no other option, biblically speaking. And so respond. Do not reject. And then again, as the writer of Hebrews has been doing all through this book, it's been a comparison, right? Moses, Christ, Melchizedek, Christ, all of these are comparisons. And so we get to this part and he makes a comparison. He goes, you remember Mount Sinai? If they experience judgment for rejecting God at Mount Sinai, how much more after we've been given Christ? Receive the gospel. Respond to it. And when we do, we have a future that is assured. As the heading of this whole section it says, a future that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And again, this should be a great point of comfort for us. Because 2020, this year has been a year of shaking. It's been a year of the world, really, in a state of unrest. We see this with COVID as we sit in a very bizarre fashion yet this Sunday. We see this as we flip on the news every day and we see the unrest and the protests and then even the riots in our country. We see all of this unrest and shaking and we go, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. There are many things we don't know, and yet one of the things that we have that we are assured that will not be moved is the promises to believers, the promises of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the promise and assurance of you and I's position when we respond to the gospel in faith. That God does not see our mistakes that we will make next week, but rather He sees us through the righteousness of Christ. We have a promise of a kingdom that will never fail. It's what's the natural response to this? The final verse, two verses of our passage. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, our God does not change. That last verse, I was visiting with Pastor Dave Landigent this week, and we were just chit-chatting about this passage a little bit. He goes, yeah, that last verse, that's always a surprising one, isn't it? And it is, because you'd think after we talk about Mount Zion that all that fiery language of Mount Sinai would disappear, but it doesn't. Because our God does not change. It is the same God that met the Israelites on top of Mount Sinai that we meet here today. But our reception because of Christ is different. And we can come to worship. We can come to worship with awe and reverence. We can give Him praise because our access has changed. And so let us praise God. Let us worship Him. And let us celebrate all that He has done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining us for Waking with the Word. It is our prayer at the Volga Christian Reformed Church that this time, as an encouragement to you in your faith, especially as we look at the book of Hebrews, that you are strengthened in your trust of Jesus Christ. And it's our desire that you join us every Sunday morning, whether through this radio program or in person at our church at 412 Kaysen Avenue in Volga, South Dakota. Our morning worship service begins at 9:30 every Sunday morning. It is our desire that through our corporate worship, Jesus' church is strengthened, that his name is glorified, and that more and more people hear the good news that has been given to them through the sacrificial work of Jesus. This morning we'd also like to thank the Dort College Music Department for sharing their gifts with us.